Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Speaker of the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Nicholas Mattiello. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
The state budget impasse appears to be moving toward a resolution. That's after talks between Rhode Island Senate President Dominic Ruggiero and our guest, Speaker Mattiello. Speaker Mattiello, I would start by asking you, if the Senate comes back and approves the House version of the budget, would you then be committed to having a fall House session to address the bills that have been left in limbo?
Well, you ask if I would be committed. What I would tell you is I would like to do that because there are some bills that were left in limbo that are important to me and a lot of other folks. The domestic violence bill, for instance, I think that's something that should pass. Its time is here and we've got to get that done. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And there's a lot of other important legislation that I'm looking forward to addressing. So that's the plan right now.
Some people would ask whether there's a better way to solve these sorts of budget disputes than two people, yourself and the Senate president, meeting at an undisclosed location over coffee and juice. What do you say?
Give me a better plan, and I'll be glad to partake in it. At some point, you got to have conversations, and decisions have to be made. And you know, I'm going to really commend the Senate president. We had our impasse, but when we sat down, we both came at it from the exact same perspective, and that's what's best for the state, what's best for our citizens, and that made resolving it pretty easy.
Let's go to Maureen.
Well, I understand that, you know, one of the problems was each of you were trying to protect your institutional prerogatives. As an academic, I have to ask you this question. All the research suggests that of the seven odd thousand legislators, women do a much better job of seeking consensus. So given these data, do you think it would be good if we had more women in leadership positions?
Well, I'm someone who believes that women are uniquely creative and add a lot of value. So I will take women in any positions. And yeah, women are natural leaders just as men are. And, you know, I think we want talented people, whether they're male or female, but women are uniquely creative. So, yes, absolutely.
Let's go to Scott.
The only question I have for the speaker is I'm wondering why just before July 4th that you and Senate President Ruggiero couldn't have come back, worked out over the weekend, and then came back on Monday before July 4th. You would have had a nice deadline there and done it then and not had to have this overtime stuff.
Well, the plan was June 30th, and, you know, I think everybody knows that the proposed amendment was unexpected. It was at a late hour, so that's rehashing yesterday's news. We weren't planning into going into July, and that late amendment caused the House to go home in recess. And, you know, thereafter, I intentionally waited a little while. Time tends to cure things, and I thought that would be prudent. And when we sat down, I think, at an appropriate time, and we moved forward in an appropriate way. So I'm very pleased, despite having had the stalemate, and once we sat down, our working relationship was once again in place and there, and we were able to move forward in an appropriate way for our citizens.
Let's talk about another issue involving the General Assembly, the fate of the Paw Sox proposed new stadium in Pawtucket. Before the impasse, plan was for finance committees in the House and Senate to hold fall hearings. Do you expect at this point that Rhode Island will be able to keep the Paw Sox in Rhode Island?
Well, I don't know. I think that's going to largely come down to what our citizens want. And I'm not sure what that is right now. So I think the Senate said they're going to do some public hearings. And I'm not committed to doing anything right now, but it's certainly something that a lot of people want. And there's opposition to it also, a lot of opposition, I think. So let's get the public input, see where it takes us, and we'll go from there. And beyond that, I really don't have much of an opinion or perspective on it, but I think it should be vetted. I think that all of the facts should be at all. We should get some public input thereafter and let it go where it naturally goes.
Yeah, I think we should keep the Paw Sox so long as it's not a deal that fleeces the taxpayers, and I hope that the Speaker, working with his Senate colleagues, can work out something that is good for Pawtucket, good for the state, good for baseball fans.
What do you say, Maureen?
I say I think once we get the data as far as the economic impact, and I think it's a good thing that they're playing this out, I really think it requires leadership. I think someone has to step up to the plate and champion this if it's a good deal. And I expect this is a role that the governor should play. She's indicated that she doesn't want to lose the PawSox. I know it's touchy electorally, but sometimes you have to step up. And I would hope and expect that she might take that role once we see what the deal looks like.
I happen to agree with that, Maureen. I've always said this is a big deal for the taxpayers. It's one of those things that you need governor initiative, governor leadership on. If it's in fact a good deal, and I haven't studied it in depth, but if it's in fact a good deal, you're going to need governor leadership on something this big and significant for the state.
And I had a chance to speak with Governor Raimondo about that this week, and she told me that she is not going to really do much more than what she has already done to boost this proposal. So I think that adds to the questions about whether the PawSox will stay or go. Let's talk about another issue. Governor Raimondo has vetoed a measure that would automatically extend contracts for teachers and municipal employees. Unions like this, but critics say it's bad for taxpayers. Speaker, will you bring the House back to override this veto at some point?
I don't know at this point. We're going to analyze it, obviously. I will talk to our host sponsor of the bill. I'll talk to my leadership team. I'll talk to the Senate president and see what the appropriate thing is. You know, it's one of those issues. There's no clear answer. Everybody jockeys for position. Clearly, the municipalities want leverage when they're, in fact, negotiating a contract, as do the unions. I would expect that from both sides. My concern is the kids that you leave in the middle and the work to rule and so forth when you don't have an agreement. This contract continuation just codifies what the practice has been for the last 50 years before a Superior Court decision. So, you know, I understand everybody's position. I don't think it's as significant as some people would indicate, other than everybody wants the best possible position. I think my interest is what's in the best interest of our children and the educational system. And so we'll see where it goes. Obviously, we thought that the bill was appropriate to pass. Let's see if we override the veto or not.
Well, I actually agree with the governor. I think she stepped up, and I think she did the right thing. I mean, I understand your point, but we have to think about the burden on the municipalities. It's not a bottomless pit. Taxes go up, programs get cut. And so I applaud her for doing this, and it'll be interesting to see how you respond.
I think it's ridiculous. Look, teacher strikes used to be annual things in Rhode Island. They aren't anymore. All this does is level the playing field. Unless you're out to break the union and want to break it, literally, there's no reason you can't deal with an evergreen situation. I worked at a private sector company for 25 years. We had evergreen provisions in the contract. It levels the playing field between
management. Private sectors and municipalities are two very different things.
It levels the playing field between management and labor, which is what you should do.
You got to understand, these are contracts that the municipalities have entered into. I've actually seen the League of Cities and Towns say sweetheart deals. These are deals that they've entered into. Nobody's given to anybody, and they're old contract. So until a new contract is entered into, and the last time I checked, everything goes up, not the other way. So until a new contract is entered into, you respect each other's position and you move forward as such.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, a Cranston Democrat.
Thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.